I feel some measure of comfort that my family is all under this roof. At least, most of them are. Dad, I think suddenly. Oh no, please not Dad. I look back at the police car. The headlights illuminate a light mist of rain. At least it's not the children, a guilty little voice in my head whispers. At least it isn't Ollie. Ollie is on the back deck, grilling burgers. Safe. He came home from work early today, not feeling well apparently, though he doesn't seem particularly unwell. In any case, he's alive, and I'm wholeheartedly grateful for that. The rain has picked up a little now, turning the mist into distinct, precise raindrops. The police kill the engine but don't get out right away. I ball up a pair of Ollie's socks and place them on top of his pile, and then reach for another pair. I should stand up, go to the door, but my hands continue to fold on autopilot, as if by continuing to act normally, the police car will cease to exist and all will be right in the world again. But it doesn't work. Instead, a uniformed policeman emerges from the driver's seat.
Mom, Harriet calls. Edie is watching the TV.
2 weeks ago, a prominent news journalist had spoken out publicly about her revulsion that children under the age of 3 were exposed to TV, actually going so far as to call it child abuse. Like most Australian mothers, I'd been incensed about this and followed with the predictable diatribe of, what would she know? She probably has a team of nannies and hasn't looked after her children for a day in her life. Before swiftly instating the no screens for Edie rule, which lasted until 20 minutes ago when I was on the phone with the energy company and Edie decided to try the old Mom, Mom, Mom trick until I relented, popping on an episode of Play School and retreating to the bedroom to finish my phone call. It's all right, Harriet, I say, my eyes still on the window. Harriet's cross little face appears in front of me, her dark brown hair and thick fringe swishing around her face like a mop.
But you said...
Never mind what I said, a few minutes won't hurt. The cop looks to be mid-twenties, 30 at a push. His police hat is in his hand, but he wedges it under one arm to tug at the front of his too tight trousers. A short, rotund policewoman of a similar age gets out of the passenger side, her hat firmly on her head. They come around the car and start up the path side by side. They are definitely coming to our place.
Nettie, I think suddenly. It's about Nettie.
It's possible. Ollie's sister has certainly had her share of health issues lately. Or maybe it's Patrick? Or is it something else entirely? The fact is, part of me knows it's not Nettie or Patrick or Dad. It's funny sometimes what you just know.
Burgers are up.
The fly screen door scrapes open and Ollie appears at the back door holding a plate of meat. The girls flock to him and he snaps his crocodile tongs while they jump up and down, squealing loudly enough to nearly drown out the knock at the door. Nearly.
Was that the door?
Ollie raises an eyebrow, curious rather than concerned. In fact, he looks animated. An unexpected guest on a weeknight? Who could it be? Ollie is the social one of the two of us, the one that volunteers on the Parents and Friends Committee at the kids' school because it's a good way to meet people, who hangs over the back fence to say hi to the neighbours if he hears them talking in the garden, who approaches people who look vaguely familiar and tries to figure out if they know each other. A people person. To Ollie, an unexpected knock on the door during the week signals excitement rather than doom. But of course, he hasn't seen the cop car. Edie tears down the corridor.
I get it, I get it.
Hold on a minute, Edie Bug,
Ollie says, looking for somewhere to put down the tray of burgers. He isn't fast enough, though, because by the time he finds some counter space, Edie has already tossed open the door.
Police!
She says, awed. This, of course, is the part where I should run after her, intercept the police at the door and apologise, but my feet are concreted to the floor. Luckily, Ollie is already jogging up behind Edie, ruffling her hair playfully.
G'day,
he says to the cops. He glances over his shoulder back into the house, his mind caught up in the action of a few seconds ago, perhaps wondering if he remembered to turn off the gas